Welcome to the Mum Break Podcast, a place where you can feel normal, get helpful information, and laugh your ass off. Hopefully without peeing your pants. I'm your host, Erica, and I have two kiddos. I am not a mom expert, but I do have a zillion hours of therapy under my belt and no filter. I'm on my own journey to find happiness, and I want to help you on the way to yours. I just listened to this episode back while I was driving in the car, so I actually pulled over and I wanted to leave a little disclaimer before jumping into the episode. And I think some of you may understand why, and others may think it's overkill as to why I'm doing this. But I think why I'm doing this, I'm happy to explain in a future episode because I have my own thoughts around, messages like this. But my disclaimer is that after listening to this episode, it's very much centered around me and my own opinion and my own perspectives. And I am a super privileged cisgender white woman. So there's a ton of bias. And again, the episode itself is meant to be my feelings to help normalize for me what's happening that you may be able to relate to it. So I'll explain why I did this little disclaimer in future episodes, but it is important to me because what's happening in the world is not about me, and I'm not trying to center it around me, but I am trying to normalize some of the feelings that people who may be in a similar position to me may have. So there's my little disclaimer. And I think it's partly because this episode is one of the most vulnerable ones I've ever recorded, to be honest. And that comes from a lot of discomfort in terms of what I know and what I know I don't know. And you'll see. I hope you enjoy the episode, and I hope that the purpose of it is to help some people and that it does actually, in fact, do that on some of these difficult conversations. Okay, have a great day. Enjoy. Today's episode is going to be a little bit less structured, I think. I'm just predicting based on all the things that I have running through my mind. So while I usually have a point and I try to somewhat formulate an argument, not an argument, my thoughts in a rational way, I want to do this episode a little bit differently because the goal of this episode is essentially to just share all the different thoughts and emotions and feelings that I perceive to be normal in the situation of the world right now. So I'll take a step back and just say that today is Friday, February 25th, and as of yesterday, Russia has attacked Ukraine. And it's wild to just say that sentence. But for this episode, I want to share how I'm feeling, the ways that I want to help, the ways that I'm struggling, where I'm at emotionally, psychologically. And I will say that before I dive into things, I am very, very likely going to say something wrong or incorrect, or something that may trigger somebody. And that is not my intention whatsoever. If I'm speaking from my own perspective, I'm feeling a little bit fragile right now with everything that has happened in the world for the last, however many years now. And it is not my goal to spread misinformation or say anything that triggers anybody. So I just want to say before I jump in, I hope that I don't. I likely won't, but I'm human. I make mistakes. I may look back on this episode in 3 months and think, oh, wow, shit, Erica, you knew nothing. You've learned so much since then. And that's the really cool thing about this is that we can grow as humans. So that was my internet asterisk because people online can be mean. But I think for the most part, everybody who listens, we have a similar, well, we may not agree on every topic. We have, for the most part, a similar fundamental core values. And I think and feel very strongly that that's what's important. So how do I feel about everything going on in the world? And this is not to say that this is about me in any way, shape, or form. I just wanted to be able to use this platform to share how I'm feeling, because I know that there's many people who feel the same way and very likely feel like crap about it. Because I just had a therapy appointment today, and it's funny, I'd planned to record how I was feeling before the therapy session and then after, and share some of the tips that my therapist had passed along. But workday got busy, didn't have the chance to do it. So, you know, it's the end of the day right now, and I thought, before I hang out with my kids, I need to get this off my chest. I think that, oh my gosh, it's so funny because I'm even apprehensive talking about how I feel because of the backlash and different opinions. And I think that with my friends and my family and my personal life, I'm at the point now where I'm so self-assured about how I feel and my core values and my core beliefs and what I stand for. And I have absolutely no problem talking about those in my personal life with friends, with family, with coworkers. Actually, it's quite easy to stand up for what I believe in. But to sit here and say, you know what happened yesterday and what has happened for the last 2 years and all of the conflict and everything with the convoy and the fact that apparently aliens came to Earth and no one noticed or cared, and the fact that now in Texas, trans families are being attacked, and the fact that there's quite literally such a huge list of ridiculous world events that have happened that we are not only living through, but also simultaneously watching the live streams in graphic images and videos. And how does that affect our psychology in the long term? Because this is the first time in history of the world that historical events such as what's happening in the world, or has happened in the last few years, is quite literally being documented live. As an example, I was out and about the other day, and a friend who has friends in Russia, or not friend, the person is from Russia and has friends in Ukraine, and sent horribly sad, awful, terrible videos, and it is soul-crushing to watch. Then the flip side of me kicks into this logical, compassionate view of, Erica, you need to snap the F out of it, because you are so effing lucky to have the privilege of seeing these videos from afar, from the safety and comfort of your own home, and what a privilege that is. And then it spirals into this endless cycle of being wildly grateful to have everything that I have and all of the privilege that I have, to also simultaneously still struggling with my own mental health and how to process everything that's happening. And then in turn, feeling guilty about this and the fact that comparatively, I have this privilege that I'm lucky to have, and I shouldn't feel guilty. And the interesting thing about all of this is that what I can rationalize, and the empathy and the guilt and all of these feelings, just feel as though it's this pot of confusing emotions and desires and hopes that I want, and I feel paralyzed by what to do. And it's actually really interesting. My therapist said something about the learned helplessness that we're feeling. And the other angle to all of this is, I so badly want to help everybody. There are so many things right now that I want to use my privilege and my resources and my time and my energy and my voice to talk about. I do not want any families being harassed, trans children being attacked. The fact that the government just slipped in this law in the middle of a pandemic and the start of potentially a war is infuriating. I want to help all those people. I want to help people in Ukraine, families, you see videos of NICU babies. I want to help. And I'm in Ottawa right now too. So we have this whole, oh yeah. And also one of the biggest protests, someone, you know, a bunch of people camped out and partied in downtown Ottawa for 3 weeks for something that I'm not entirely sure what it was for. I understand some of it, but to what end? Like, it's such a mixed pot of emotions and feelings, and then this layer of wanting to just help and to make a difference and to provide support and resources. But because when I expressed this to my therapist, it's how she coined it, is this learned helplessness. And I may be using it out of context, but essentially is that we get so overwhelmed by the events of the world that we don't actually act. And with access to technology and to literally opening your phone, scrolling through, most people, to be honest, don't get a ton of their news from mainstream media anymore, but scrolling through TikTok, Instagram, the news, different works, talking with friends, talking with colleagues, talking with family, whatever way you consume your information, not only is, for the most part, things incredibly biased, but it's this aggressive, constant, never-ending stream of information being pushed constantly in your face. And the idea of learned helplessness is that, for me, this whole angle of just wanting so badly to help, but then only having the time and the resources and what, you know, quite frankly, the energy to help with all of these different things that I want to make an impact for and I feel so strongly about, is that we get overwhelmed and we actually don't act. And I found that really interesting. And she actually used the example of the climate crisis, whereby the world is essentially dying. And it seems like such an overwhelming feat to help our Earth and to do better. But really, everyone just needs to do their part. And if you break it down into those small things, it's not actually that huge. But this daunting, overshadowing view of what needs to be done is so overwhelming that no one does anything. And it's funny, it's like laundry. I mean, if we're going to scale it back to basic real world examples, right now I have the privilege of, and it's so interesting because in the scope of this conversation, for me, it always comes back to three things. It comes back to my privilege and my guilt associated with not doing enough. And then for the third thing, that I just want to do more. I constantly feel like I'm not doing enough, and I constantly want to do more, but you physically can only do so much. So it's those three things. So you'll notice that a lot of these points constantly come back to that to me, and it's something I'm working on. But it's like laundry. You have this gigantic pile, and the bigger it gets, the bigger it gets, the less likely you are to do it. And then it feels like this completely hopeless, gigantic task that, where do you start, right? So it was an interesting take for me about all that. And again, I started this podcast with not really having a clear idea of how I wanted to structure this conversation. And I think I know that I did that intentionally, specifically because I think a lot of people are feeling this way. We are feeling, quite frankly, the trauma of the last 2 years of living through a pandemic. If you're in Ottawa, you're feeling the impact of friends and family being torn apart by the convoy. You're feeling this, I'm feeling this overwhelming sense of helplessness, watching family, babies, mothers, children, schools, nurses, humans suffering the hand of a horrible human being and not being able to do anything about it. Oh my goodness. Honestly, I've lost track, but it's, I know that I'll listen back to this and think, wow, you really missed a bunch of key points. But I think that's the lack of clarity and the missing of key elements is in itself indicative of how we're feeling right now. And I keep coming back to this in my head. I can't stop thinking about it. Is that, in my opinion, what's happened and is happening in the world for the last 2-5 years, whatever, is horrible. However, it is not out of the ordinary of the scope of the history of the world. This world and civilization has always had wars, plagues, hate, evil. It has always had that. And we go in cycles. I heard it on the news the other day, the post-World War II something or other. There was a term that I'm, quite frankly, I hadn't heard before. But it for me, indicated that we go in cycles and we fluctuate throughout history. I mean, I'm not talking about my lifetime as a 34, almost 35-year-old woman. I'm talking about the history of the world is filled with war, hunger, poverty, hate. And so it's not new. It's new to our lifetime. But what is new and what's happened for the first time in history is the access to the information that we have and the ability to literally live stream of sorry, I try not to swear because there's, I know you never know who's watching or who's in the background, but I want to say a mother effing war and people being attacked and horrible bills being passed and people with nasty, awful agendas have now platforms to push and the ability to rally followers and people don't question or challenge information. And if they do, those conversations are not had in a respectful way where we're enabling ourselves to listen and to form our own opinion with respect and love and kindness. And so what's new is that we now have access to sit and watch endless thousands, years of people suffering, live stream mother effing videos. And I'm honestly not sure how to form an eloquent message around that. But what I keep going back to is the fact that this is such a new, for lack of a better word, sounds awful, phenomena, this is a new way to share and visualize and process and view horrible acts and atrocities across the world. It's so new that scientists haven't had a chance to study it. People don't know the long-term negative ramifications that consuming information and atrocities will have on the long-term impact on not only, you know, mothers who are sitting at home, who are adults, who are fully formed adults. And I'm just saying mothers because I'm quite literally sitting here. So I'm using myself as a guidepost, but of teenagers who have access to this information and people who maybe don't necessarily have the privilege of people explaining to them the situation or their brains aren't fully functioned. I was a moron when I was a teenager. I feel like I'm just lucky to have gotten by. And a big part of that is because, again, ding, 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 back to my privilege. Wonderful parents, excellent upbringing. I was very fortunate and lucky to have that, but I would have had parents who would have explained it to me. What about the young children who haven't had who don't have access to that support? So that's the key point one of the key points I keep coming back to is how the heck is the way that we consume all the horrible things going on around the world now going to affect us psychologically, physiologically, in the long term? Because it's so new, we don't know. Oh, Lordy. And you know what? I want so badly, and I'm jumping around different social and political issues that are happening right now. I have actively decided to not talk about these things or political, socioeconomic issues that are important to me personally on my Instagram account. And the reason being is because I have received horrible, horrible, horrible messages in the past for very basic, non-confrontational things. I have received death threats. I have received attacks on my children, attacks on my family for quite literally just the, you know, pictures of the way that I feed my children. So when I start sharing about topics, it is a privilege to choose not to share them. But I know that, and I have made the decision that if I do choose to share them, then I know it will impact me psychologically in a way that will make me useless to actually enact real change. So by that, I mean, I don't talk about it because it feels very much like I'm just, you know, being a performative ally for whatever injustice. But in my personal life and in my work life, there are a lot of things that I'm actively involved in that are making a real impact on a day-to-day level. And I'm not going to speak to any of them because it doesn't matter. It's not about me and the things that I do. But the point is I've made the decision to not share these things on Instagram because it's a place that doesn't, like I've said, doesn't feel safe to me anymore, because I needed to conserve that energy for other things that I'm doing that are making a change and a difference. And that's how I feel about a lot of the things happening. So when we talk about, for instance, the trucker convoy, or more specifically, the reason I started down this rabbit hole of thoughts was that there's something, and tying this all back together, there's something that has bothered me with a fiery passion, and that is the comparison to the quote-unquote freedoms that are being taken away from us in Canada. And yeah, I'm being heavily sarcastic, so my air quotes here. I want to be very clear. And the direct comparison to the freedoms that were taken away in the Holocaust to the Jewish people. And this, I want to speak about this in a plain and clear and respectful way, but this is in no means okay for me, and it sends me into a fiery fury of rage. And I had a really interesting conversation about this topic with a coworker, ironically, because I'm quite open about these things with people at work as well. And she made an excellent point, was that if we don't talk about these things and things that have happened in our history, then they get diluted over time and people forget. So then it gets to this point where a whole bunch of people are upset that they don't have the privilege to go into a store without a mask on and say that they are losing their freedoms, like the Jewish folks who were, I'm going to go down this path because it's turning me into an angry human. But it's about, I've chosen not to share this on my platform on Instagram. It's important, regardless of how you're having these conversations, to continue having them, whether it be with friends, whether it be with families, so that we don't forget, so that we don't fall into the trap of comparing, you know, survival through a global pandemic and doing the best we can to help the greater good to, I was going to get really dark there for a second, but I'm just going to say to what happened during the Holocaust. And then on the flip side, then those same folks saying, oh, well, protesting in Canada is not the same as Russians protesting against the attack on Ukraine. It is wildly confusing to me. And I have taken this into a dangerous territory that I don't mean dangerous territory, because I feel strong in my stances and I'm happy to talk to people in a respectful way. But what I mean is, it's not the point of what I'm trying to say in this podcast. The point is, what I'm trying to say is that this level of confusion and doubt and overwhelm and stress and anxiety and sadness and grief and guilt, did I say guilt? And this continuous and perpetual thought that
and recognition of your own privilege, which is a great thing, learning about your own privilege and how it impacts the way that you see the world and move through and about the world, but to not let it consume you to the point of this learned helplessness where you can't actually function, take care of what's important to you and your family, and to make and enact real change in the world. And I'll leave it with this one last note, because one of the things that I said to my therapist was that I want to do so much for everybody. I see people who I could help and who I want to help, and not help from the perspective of, I'm trying to differentiate what type of help I mean. I think it's really, for me, it's about time and resources. So it's not like I'm going to use my whiteness to help. It's more about, here's a really good example. Because of my Instagram platform, on a daily basis, I get asked multiple times for people to donate to GoFundMe, random GoFundMe causes. And this is just a small example. This is not what I mean in the entirety of the conversation and my point. But it's just a really simple, easy example. Multiple times a day, I get asked to donate to a GoFundMe. And I so badly want to help, but I don't have the financial resources to donate to every single one. And having to choose is painful. It is hard, and it is that feeling of I want to help everybody, but that recognition and the acceptance that you can't is really difficult. But back to this point is that I told my therapist, I want to help everybody. I mean, that's a really weird way of saying that, but I so badly want to help as much as possible. And I find myself helping with so many different things, but I'm not actually moving the needle forward on anything. She used an expression, I can't recall what it was, but essentially it was that you're helping with so many things that you're spreading your resources and time and energy so thin that you're only impacting a very, very tiny, minute amount on a few things. So why not set a benchmark and a goal for what you want to accomplish and where you want to get, and focus in on digging in and making significant impact in one or two things? And I thought, okay, yes, duh. This is really obvious, but I needed to hear it from somebody else, and I needed to filter out the noise from the outside world and focus on making actual real change. And again, I'm 100% sure that I've said something that's incorrect or wrong, and I'm probably gonna look back on this and think that I misspoke on my words or word vomited, and I'm 100% gonna wish that I had said something differently. But I hope that the message is clear, is that this is where I'm at right now from a thought perspective. I'm at a deep level of consistently and perpetually, I don't know if that's the right use of the word, attempting to recognize my privilege and to try to leverage that in, not leverage it, sorry, to try to use it to shape the way that I move through the world. I feel guilty all the time. I feel like I want to help everybody all the time. On the flip side, I'm sad. I'm sad for what's happening in the world. I just want to focus on I want to be able to use my energy to also simultaneously focus on my kids and making their lives awesome and focusing on my relationship. And then it goes in the deep dive of, I also want to be healthy and be happy and work on myself. But then how can I work on myself when people around the world are labeling their children's clothing with their blood type? And I'm here worrying about if my child can read or not. And the entire point of this rambling, jumping around conversation is that I don't think there is a right answer right now. And I think the right answer is just doing the best you can with what you have. We are all in very different places and very different stages. And recognizing what you have, being thankful for it, and helping where you can and where you're able. And that's not to say you need to martyr yourself and burn yourself out, because what I realized in the example of Instagram is that by not martyring myself on Instagram, that's a horrible way of saying it, but by putting myself in the position to have some of these more difficult dialogues on Instagram, it actually impacted and affected my ability to what I perceive to be significant work behind the scenes. So it goes the same with any scenario, is if you are finding that you're watching TikTok lives and it's impacting your ability to better yourself, to better the world, and to make difference and to help, then take a moment and turn it off. And yes, that is a privilege to be able to say, I'm going to take a break from that news. That is absolutely a privilege. But owning that and recognizing it and flipping it around to the point where you then are just going to focus on being grateful for what you have and being the best version of yourself to better help the world and people and family and your loved ones, I think is the best thing that we can do. I'm going to stop now because, quite frankly, I could keep going forever. I'm quite nervous, to be honest, about posting this. I could talk all day about the challenges and difficulties of mental health and motherhood, but when it comes to stuff like this, I think I'm especially vulnerable because I by no means am an expert, and I recognize that I'm in this constant state of growth and I'm going to get it wrong and I'm going to be ever changing, and I don't know everything. I absolutely don't. But I'm willing to learn and I'm willing to figure it out. But I'm not willing to burn myself into any more a crippling depression, because then I can't do better and be better. I hope everybody is doing okay. I know that we each have our own things going on, whatever it might be, and it's a lot right now. Thank you all so much. I hope if you're listening to this, you're safe and healthy and, I'm like, God bless. I'm not religious, not God bless, but I don't know. I love you. I don't know. I don't know you. I don't love you. I guess just stop. Ugh. Bye. Peace. See ya. Oh, I'm so awkward.